time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
All right, for this Monday, the 6th of July, joining us on the roundtable, host of the Bill Carroll Show, Fridays at noon, coast to coast, host of the Morning Rush at CFRA in Ottawa. It is Bill Carroll. Hello, Bill.
And occasional Uber driver.
Oh. So you've added that feather to your cap. How was your weekend?
Not? Can't think of anything safer to do right now but drive other people around, total strangers, in my own car. Sounds great.
I drove by an Uber guy today, and it was at a red light, and he had a mask down underneath his nose, turned around talking to the person in the back. And I thought to myself, Well, clearly the message is getting out there in a safe fashion.
I saw a woman this weekend pull her mask down to cough into her hand. Really not getting this, lady. You're really not understanding.
Joining us as well, you just
heard stop touching stuff now.
Please leave the mangoes alone. Queen's Park Bureau Chief for the Toronto Star, Robert Benzie, is here as well. Hello, Robert.
Hi, Jay. Hi, Rashmi.
What'd you see in your weekend? Anything interesting?
Nothing that I can say on the radio in a family station. No, I'm kidding. What was I doing this weekend? You know what I did, Jay? I went to a restaurant for the first time in Toronto. On King Street, and it was fantastic. My wife and I and our kids, and it was just awesome to be at a restaurant, La Panu on King Street, and their staff there were so great, and everyone's wearing masks, and not the patrons, but the staff were, and it felt as close to normal as you can feel right now, and I was grateful that they were open, and I think they were grateful that we were all there.
Yeah, that's great. And it's so awesome that we're supporting local businesses, and so many of them are doing everything so right that we think that's fantastic.
Yeah, it's interesting when you go through these new experiences, and it's like, was that worth it? Do I want to go back to the way things were? And, you know, we've been talking a lot about streaming in Ontario's education system, with the Minister of Education, Stephen Lecce, announcing that they're going to get rid of that academic streaming. And it goes back to systemic racism and this ongoing conversation since the pandemic began about coming out of this into a better world for anybody and everybody. Rob, let me start with you. You know, did you experience this? Are you familiar with streaming? What are your thoughts on what the government's announced?
I mean, I didn't experience it myself, but I know people that have, and I thought that the premier spoke quite eloquently about it today. It made me wonder. I didn't get a chance to ask him, but it made me wonder if some of his friends or maybe he himself had been streamed. Just there was a kind of a passion the way he was speaking about it. And I know that Stephen Lecce, when he became education minister, I sat down with him last summer, so a year ago now, and he said that was one of the issues that really bothered him about the education system, was the streaming of kids at such a young age, grade 9. And to the premier's point today, you're asking kids at that time to make a decision that will affect the rest of their lives. And sometimes those decisions are made for them by guidance counselors, as you guys were talking about earlier, or others who may not always have the full picture. You know, there's a lot of talented kids that aren't going to get to go or haven't gone to university because they were streamed away from that. And as the premier said today, and he didn't go to university, but he said, look, not university isn't for everyone. Colleges are great too, but I mm-hmm. think it's a real shame if there's kids who would be great in the academic stream, yet, you know, they get streamed out of it early. And I thought that by and large this was a pretty positive move by the government, and I don't see a lot of criticism of it, frankly.
No, yeah. I mean, it's bipartisan, right? We're hearing it from everyone saying if Ontario is the only one still doing this, and I'm sure that the teachers had good intentions, but when you look at the statistics and you see that most Black and Indigenous kids are the ones who are putting in the programs that take you down the college lane, not the university lane. Also worth mentioning that in all of this, they're also getting rid of suspensions for elementary students. Yep. Bill, I found a story CTV had done recently, well, a few years back, showing, you know, suspensions of kids in junior kindergarten and senior kindergarten. So 4-year-olds and 5-year-olds being suspended by the principal for assault.
Well, and that's the problem with eliminating it, is what weapon do you have left in your arsenal if you can't suspend people? Because suspending the student is not just about that student's behavior, and it's not just punitive. What about the safety of the other kids in the class? What about disruptions in the other class? I got to tell you, I have many questions about where they're planning to go with this. I have a lot of experience recently with streaming. I have a kid who just finished grade 9 and another one going into grade 9 this fall. Breastfeeding is not birth control, just so you know. So got the Irish twins, one school year apart.
And Scottish twins in your case, Bill.
Yeah, exactly. Well, McCarroll is my real last name, so.
Yes, I know.
Ancestry of Irish and born in Scotland. But here's the thing. I liked the way it was going to work for us. First of all, the student and the parents make the choice. And I'm not saying there's not something that stats show there's something wrong with the system. And I know students often get pushed by guidance counselors, parents too. But ultimately, it does come down to the choice of the parents. And our daughter has an independent education program. She was born with spina bifida. She has some delays. She always had trouble with math. So we plan to put her in the non-academic math, but academic English. So we still had a path to university and a path to go back to academic math should she choose later by taking a summer course. So there, it's not as rigid as it sounds, at least to me. We were very satisfied with it. And then she messed up our plans by getting an 84 in algebra this year. Who saw that one coming, right? So now we're not quite so sure about it. But I worry with someone like her who has a different way of learning that she's not going to have the option to take the more general math program in the early grades and focus on what she's good at and where her interests lie, which is more in communication and arts. And so I just hope we get it right. But I don't see a lot of details so far in this. I hear they're going to make a change. They're going to eliminate it. But does that mean you only have one choice of math class in grade 9? Because I don't think that's a good idea either.
Yeah, I think we can all agree it's certainly a discussion that's not going anywhere anytime soon. Great chat with Toronto Mayor John Tory a little bit earlier today. One of the concerns the mayor having with our city is service cuts could be coming if we don't get a government bailout.
In the time that we have left in this year, with no latitude that we don't seek to run a deficit because we're not allowed to and we don't want to, we will have no alternative but to bring about serious service cuts and or unacceptable levels of tax increase at a time when people can least afford it.
Yeah, and there it is, right, Robert? It just comes back. It was inevitable. This is the coming back to roost period, and we're not even really getting into the worst of it yet. You know, we're the economic engine for this country, but at the same time, you know, we have to find ways to try and dig ourselves out. I think we can probably agree, though, there's really going to be, you know, nobody's all going to be happy when it comes to service cuts. There's going to be cuts that are going to hurt someone in some way, shape, or form. It's just sort of a necessary evil, I guess.
Well, and at a time when services are required by everyone more than in normal times, I guess. I thought the mayor was making an interesting point. I mean, remember the pandemic's costing the city something like $65 million every week. But every level of government is struggling. Of course, the other two levels of government, provincial government and the federal government, they can run deficits. We don't know what the federal deficit is. It's going to be in the hundreds of billions, though. It could be $200 billion, I'm hearing. The provincial deficit is $20.5 billion as projected right now, but it's going to be higher. So I know that there's going to be an appetite at City Hall for bailouts from the senior levels of government. I don't know if there's going to be the money there from those senior levels of government because they're already tapped. It's going to be an interesting to and fro, that's for sure.
Yeah, and that's an interesting part of it too, Bill, is those, you know, the daily, you know, morning show briefing from the Prime Minister almost exclusively every single day featured a couple of billion-dollar announcement, right? And eventually we all knew that would end, and we're starting to hear behind the scenes, obviously not promoted as well, that, you know, certain programs have dried up, certain programs are no longer available, certain programs are full. But, you know, do we live in a country that can federally bail us out, I guess, is the big question.
And service cuts also become job cuts, right? Because that's where every level of government, its biggest expenses tends to be in staff. So, all right. So they bail out Toronto. And thank you, Ottawa would like a bailout too. And then what? The province, it cuts some of its services, lays off some of its staff, or asks the federal government for money. And then the federal government does the same thing. So sooner or later, something's got to give, right? Because we don't want to increase unemployment as we're trying to crawl out of a recession. My gut on it, though, is that most of the most important services that people use day to day tend to be delivered by the municipal government first and the provincial government second. So we have to bail out the municipalities. We just have no choice because they have no other options, and we can't afford to lose the services that people need, especially in times of high unemployment.
Yeah, okay, let's talk about the court documents the RCMP has now detailed against that CAF member who allegedly drove into the gate of Rideau Hall last week, now facing 22 charges. Corey Hearn is his name. Robert, what stood out to you in what we've learned from what the RCMP filed in what's against him? I guess, I mean, uttering threats against the Prime Minister is a standout here, because it was up in the air, at least with Ryan Doyle, about how we should feel about this story.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, I'm actually still astounded that the guy that he survived this. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you tried to do this to most other G7 leaders, you know, smash through their gates, security would have shot you dead. So I guess we should be grateful for the fact that our folks didn't have to do that, and we can now figure out what's up with this guy. He's clearly a really deeply troubled guy. I mean, 22 criminal charges, it's a lot to face. So I still want to know more. I mean, there's just so many questions that swirl around about Mr. Hearn. I don't know where, and I also worry, like, how does he stay in the forces for as long as he has been, you know? I mean, how does he get through that? I mean, are we checking these guys who we are arming before they are allowed on the streets? I don't know.
Yeah. So one of the charges is uttering a threat to cause death or bodily harm to the Prime Minister. Bill, is this handled seriously enough?
Yeah, I think so. I know there was speculation in the first 24, 48 hours that this could have been the Governor General as well that was being targeted. That seemed extremely unlikely to me. Guys in the Canadian military, we already knew that. He would know where the Prime Minister is living. We see him in front of that cottage every day, Monday to Friday on TV. So it was no mystery. I always believed it was about the Prime Minister. It's really scary, but, you know, a couple of things. One, we've already heard, and that is maybe a little pat in the back for the RCMP who, you know, very calmly talked this guy down. They didn't just open fire. And they dealt with someone who probably has pretty serious mental health issues. They dealt with him very well. And the security system worked. He got to look to see if it could be improved. But he got stopped at the first line of defense. And then he was confronted immediately. And they did only what they had to do to make sure he wasn't a continuing threat. So good for them all around, I think.
Hey, you know, quickly, I'll just push back a little bit on that, Bill, because this is just from the text board at 71010. When we talked initially today about that 90 minutes that it took for this guy to eventually be arrested, and how they were calm and they talked with him after him being on the grounds for 13 minutes, a number of people saying at 71010, you know, obviously he's going to get a 90-minute conversation because he's a white guy. If it was a person of color that had broken onto Rideau Hall grounds, they probably would have been shot on sight. I don't think I agree with that, but, you know, it is an interesting part of the conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that wouldn't be true, but these issues play in people's minds, right? People have their prejudices. You know, if he had been a Muslim and yelled Allah Akbar as he drove through, would he have gotten a different reception? We hope not. We hope they'd still spend the 90 minutes to talk him down. But listen, we all live in the real world, right? And it's still easier to be a white man growing up in Canada than just about anyone else. That's just the fact.
Bill Carroll, Robert Benzie, as always, thank you both so much. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Breastfeeding is not birth control. Learn something new every single day.